Please take your Bibles, and I invite you to turn again to the book of Ephesians. This morning we will begin in Ephesians chapter 3, but we want to do a survey, so to speak, of some very significant passages of Scripture that deal with the call that each one of us has if we are a Christian, if we are a member of his local church, the call that we have to be actively growing in our walk with God instead of passively declining in our walk with God and in our effectiveness for Christ. And so, if you are in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 20. And this was our call to worship. And then we will read down through verse 1 of chapter 4. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll start working through God's word together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Let's pray now and ask God's blessing on his word to our hearts, and then we'll begin working through his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time on this Lord's Day where we can open up the word of truth that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that you have given us. We thank you that this word is not the opinions of man, but it is the truth of God. Father, we thank you for the power of your word as we believe that your word is quick, it is alive, and it is sharper even than a two-edged sword, as it can go straight to the need in our heart, and it can cut away what shouldn't be there and show us how we should change. Father, I pray that your Spirit, through his word this morning, would be like that sharp scalpel, cutting straight to the need in our hearts this morning and healing and restoring us to where we need to be in our walk with Christ. I pray that as I prayed as we began our service, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and praiseworthy in your sight. I pray that no error will come forth from this pulpit this morning, but Father, it would be truth coming through your word. Your word would speak to us this morning. I pray that not only would your Spirit and your word instruct us this morning, but I pray that we will receive this instruction. We will have teachable hearts that want to trust you and obey you this morning. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who is not growing in their walk with God because they truly have never become a Christian, they have never tasted of the gift of salvation, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that they would not go another moment, another hour, another day without falling before Christ and trusting him with their life and repenting of their sin and receiving his gift of salvation. Lord, I pray for your church this morning who are gathered here, Christians. Lord, I pray that we will not live in sin as disobedient Christians, but rather we will pursue righteousness. We will pursue Christ together as a church, and that will be reflected in our growth in our walk with you. We pray that whatever work needs to be accomplished in our hearts this morning for your glory, would you do that work? Would we be submissive to that work? Would we obey by your grace? We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we closed out our time together in God's Word, and we made two observations as we closed. We had focused on the return of Jesus Christ. We had focused on the truth that Jesus is returning, and we looked at the rapture, the beautiful truth that one day Jesus will return, and he will catch away his church to be with him forever. And yet we made two observations. We said, first of all, Christians are not called by God to prepare for Christ's return alone. We are called together to prepare for the return of Christ. We need one another as his church. We made that observation. But secondly, we said that to pursue Jesus Christ, to follow after Jesus with our life, is a lifelong calling. It's a lifelong journey. It's not a one-time event or a one-time experience, but it's a day-by-day journey of faith, following after Jesus and learning how to follow him better each day with our life. Paul Tripp has said that our daily lives are not necessarily made up of huge life-impacting decisions, But our daily lives are comprised of 10,000 seemingly insignificant and even routine decisions that we make every day. Probably many of us this morning made at least 20 or more decisions already. But as we came here this morning, we made the decisions, and maybe they're decisions we make every day, to get out of bed, to get dressed, to maybe take a shower before we get dressed, to maybe have some breakfast, to maybe brush our teeth. All these small little decisions we make, but we made a lot of decisions without even maybe realizing it before we came here. Yet the reality is, most of our life revolves around small, repetitive decisions every day. And yet, there are times in our lives, aren't there, where we have to make big decisions. We have to make life-impacting decisions. Children, you have to decide, will I obey my parents or will I disobey my parents? Will I do the right thing? Will I do the wrong thing at school? Will I listen to my teachers? Will I respect them or will I disrespect them and not do what I'm called to do? As we get older, and maybe some of us start looking for jobs, maybe some eventually, I know of my teen years, and when I was coming back from college during the summer, I needed a summer job. And so sometimes we have to make a decision, will I accept this job offer, or will I wait for a different job offer? Will I get married? And if I'm considering that, who will I marry, or when will we get married, or why will I even consider getting married? Very important decisions in life. Maybe one day we realize that we don't want to live with mom and dad anymore. We decide, okay, it's time for me to get a house. And so we have to decide, am I going to rent a house? Or are we going to be able to buy a house? Or will I wait to rent? Or will I wait to buy so that I can rent? Big decisions. Those aren't decisions we make every week. There's times in our lives where we make decisions that are life-changing or life-altering. But for all of us this morning, regardless of what stage we are in life, whether we're a child, whether we're older, we all have to answer this question, will I live for God or will I live for myself? That's a decision that is brought before us from the even beginning in our childhood years. Are we going to live for God or are we going to live for ourselves? It's a call, a decision we must make that will never go away. Will I serve King Jesus with my life or will I make myself king of my life? As one preacher has said, there's only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. That's really the call for us every day of our lives. These are important decisions that we must make. I pray that all of us have that desire to serve God with our life and not just to serve self. And yet there's that daily struggle, isn't there? Am I going to serve God today with my life or I'm going to yield to just do what pleases me versus what pleases God? Christians, if you are a Christian this morning, and I know that many of you are, profess to know Christ as your Savior, will you commit to pursuing active spiritual growth, or will you complacently and sluggishly coast into passive spiritual decline? It's a decision that we have to make, and I pray that we are making the right decisions to actively grow in our walk with God. Now, this is not a new question that we have to ask ourselves. In fact, God's people have been having to answer this question throughout biblical history. If we look in Joshua, you don't need to turn there, but Joshua, towards the end of the book of Joshua, he tells the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Will you serve the false gods, the idols of the nations around you, or will you serve the true and living God who created you? And remember, Joshua says, I can't answer for you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, you need to choose this day which way you're going to go, because you can't go both. You can't serve two masters. Elijah at Mount Carmel. Remember when God uses Elijah to call down fire from heaven and God shows his power like never seen for many years to the people of Israel. Elijah at Mount Carmel says, you have a choice to make. You can't halt between two opinions. You either have to choose God or choose Baal and these false idols. But you have to make a decision. Jesus Christ tells us there's no middle ground. There's no man's land. There's no gray areas. You either are all in to serve God with your life, or you are not serving God with your life, you're serving yourself. Jesus said, and when he was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve two masters. Remember? You must choose between living for the glory of God, or you choose for the living and the accumulation of earthly possessions, called mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation, right at the towards the end of the Bible, he says, you can't straddle the fence. You either have to be hot and on fire for Christ, or you're going to be cold. But you can't be lukewarm. You must pursue spiritual fervency, or you will be pursuing spiritual complacency. As we come to our passage this morning, Paul is urging the church in Ephesus to live out the light of Christ as his church. Instead of living out the darkness of the world, as God's enemies do, he challenges them to be a spiritually healthy, a growing, active body instead of a spiritually complacent and declining body. Watching someone decline physically is a very difficult thing, isn't it? Some of us have recently, even in our church family, have had that happen in our lives as a loved one, perhaps, has declined physically and then gone on to be with the Lord. It's a very difficult and emotionally draining thing to observe. Some of you perhaps are observing that even right now as you take care of a loved one or a close friend who you get to see often, and they're physically declining. Last May, my grandmother, who we called Oma, she passed away. It was difficult to hear. I wasn't able to be there. She lived in Texas, but to hear of her physical decline, it was hard to hear, and hard for my brother, who was there even at the time living with her and taking care of her, to hear. My grandma was a very strong woman physically for much of her life. She was a proud Texan. I remember growing up, we'd be, you know, fussing over something. She'd just say, oh, stop it. You're a bunch of wimps. Here, give it to grandma and she'll fix it. Very strong, strong woman physically. And yet, I remember hearing and even seeing pictures of her and getting to talk around the phone. And when her body began to decline and to grow weak, and she realized she had to passively yield to the effects of this cancer on her body and heart problems and a number of other things, it was difficult. Yet none of us would ever come to her and say, how dare you do this, Oma? She had no control over this. Her body was declining. We understand with empathy and patience when someone we love is forced to yield to the physical limitations of the overall decline of their health. We would never view that in a negative light. We would never condemn them for that. That's the reality of living in a fallen world where sin's curse wreaks havoc on our bodies at times. It's normal. It's expected, sadly, in this fallen world for our physical bodies to eventually passively decline. However, that's our physical bodies. When it comes to our spiritual walk with God, that is not at all the case. And I thank God for that. Aren't you thankful that though our physical bodies may wear out, our spiritual life in Christ never degrades? It never is expected that we will decline spiritually. No, we'll keep growing. And many of us have memories of loved ones who knew Jesus as our Savior, and even when their bodies were physically dying, they were as alive in Christ as ever before. And they were praising God, and their testimony for Christ was, I am struggling physically, but God is good. I thank God that our spiritual walk is not dependent upon our physical reality. This means, however, that God's Word never makes concessions or excuses for Christians to passively decline in their walk with God. What this means is that God expects each one of us, if we are His child, if we are His Christian, to not have perfection in our life, because we can't, because we're sinners, but to have a focus, a daily desire to actively grow. And that's my burden for you as our church, as your pastor, that we will be a church that is actively growing in our walk with God together instead of passively declining in our walk with God. Because there is always that danger. It doesn't matter how many people you may have in a church, there is always the danger to be passively declining. Do we realize that numerical growth does not always equal spiritual growth? Do we understand that? There are many congregations that can have hundreds and maybe thousands of people attending, and yet their spiritual growth has started to decline. We don't want to be that kind of church. We want to be a faithful church. And we pray for our sister churches in the area that we will all be growing actively in our walk with God, not passively declining in our walk with God. So the first question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are you Are we actively growing or are we passively declining in our faith? Can I encourage you with the fact, or maybe it's convicting as well, God knows the answer. He knows whether you're actively pursuing Him and growing in your faith or whether you are starting to become complacent and declining in your faith. It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. The big idea that we have this morning as we look through God's Word is that God calls His church to active spiritual growth. And so that brings us to a second question that we want to answer this morning as we look into God's Word. Why does God call us as a local church to active spiritual growth? And we're going to look at several reasons together this morning. Before we jump into looking at four reasons real quickly, I want us to understand the context of the passage of Scripture we're going to look at, though. We're going to be looking mostly at Ephesians 4 and also some of 5. We started in chapter 3. As you read the book of Ephesians, this section of chapter 4 and 5 is really the meat of the application in Paul's letter. Paul, in the first three chapters, has been giving us rich doctrinal truth. And in the last three chapters, they are filled with rich instruction about how to live as a Christian who's growing in Christ. You know, you can have all the tools for a project, and you can have all the supplies for a work project. Maybe you're building a shed, or maybe you're building this, hopefully down the road in our garage, I'm going to build some shelving, you know, so we can store stuff a little better in our garage. But I could get all the wood, I even have the nail gun, I can have all these supplies, yet if I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't do it the right way, it's going to be a fiasco. It's not enough to have a head knowledge of who Jesus is what I want to say this morning. It's not enough just to know what Jesus has done for you, to know how He wants you to live. If you are a Christian, we must be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. God is calling us to correctly apply to our lives what He has told us to do in His Word. And so this morning, as we look at these passages of Scripture together, may we realize that this is not just for Pastor Sam, or it's not just for individual Christians, it's for the church. Regardless of how long you've been a Christian, that's what I love about the Christian life. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are a child and you come to know Christ as your Savior, what an awesome opportunity! Because now you can start living for Christ right now. You don't wait until you're a teenager. You don't wait, perhaps, until you're an adult. You can start growing now in your walk with Christ. It's exciting. But even if you get saved later in life, the minute you come to Christ, you start growing. And you start learning who Jesus is. And you start learning and growing together with His church. So may that be our focus this morning. As we said last week, and we see clearly this morning as we look at these passages of Scripture, these commands that God gives is to the church, to one another, not just to one person. I was looking through Ephesians as I was preparing for our message this morning, and I was highlighting, it might be good for you to do sometime, highlight all the pronouns that are plural. Highlight all the ways that Paul refers to the church as a body of Christians, not as just individuals. He uses the pronoun we 18 times in this letter. Us is used 18 times. You, the plural, and if you're from the South, it's y'all, okay? You all, that you plural is used 57 times in these six chapters. Your is used 24 times. That phrase, one another, is used 6 times just in chapters 4 and 5 alone. The saints or the holy ones are referred to 9 times, and the church also is referred to as the church 9 times. So may we catch this fervency for all of us to grow together in Christ. May none of us be pulling others to decline in our walk, but may we all be encouraging one another in our walk with God. So let's look at these four reasons why God calls us as a local church to active spiritual growth. Number one, and we just read Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, we are called to grow spiritually because there is a new purpose to pursue. There is a new purpose to pursue, and that purpose is the glory of God. Did you notice in verse 21, it says, to Him be glory in the church. In the church. The church has been created to give glory to God. And He says, just like Christ Jesus gives glory to the Father, we as the church, that is our calling. We use this in our call to worship this morning, the same passage, but it should be the call to worship for God's church every day. We live for a new purpose now that we come to Christ. We have a new purpose. Before salvation came to our souls, our purpose was to glorify, not God, but to glorify the darkness of this sinful world. But now in Christ, our purpose has changed. Our goal has changed for life, and that is to glorify the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a new purpose. This is why we're called to grow spiritually, to grow in our walk with God, because we have a new purpose. You know, having a purpose is very important for anything you do. Even if you have a work project. Why am I doing this work project? Because there's a goal here. There's a purpose. We must have purpose in our life, and God's given us a very clear purpose. It's His glory. That's why He's called us to grow. God doesn't just give us these commands to follow Jesus and to love one another, as we'll look at in a moment. He doesn't tell us to do this just because, well, you know, it's the right thing to do. There's an ultimate purpose. That's to give God the glory as we live this new life in Christ, a life we couldn't live before. Now God says, I'm calling you to know my joy, to know my peace, to know my presence, to know this new purpose in your life like you've never had before. Before we came to Christ, our purpose was to pursue our pleasure. But now our purpose is to do what God finds pleasure in. The purpose of the church is to glorify God so that in the church He might receive all glory. But secondly, not only do we have a new purpose, but secondly, there is a new calling to obey. There is a new calling to obey. This is why God calls us to grow in Christ actively, not because we have a new purpose just only, but also because there's a new calling to obey, and that calling is to Christian unity. If in your verse 1, much of our time as we have left is going to just be reading through chapter 4 and 5 and then commenting. But in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The calling is to walk worthy or in a worthy manner that lines up with the calling we have received to glorify God. What Paul is saying here is one of the clearest ways that we glorify God in His church as a church together is to glorify Him through Christian unity. We walk or we live in a way that gives God the glory. We walk in a way that exalts humility and gentleness and patience with one another. We have an eagerness to let the Spirit of God who unites us in Christ, to let His peace flow through us to one another. This means that when problems arise, when disagreements arise in the church, we don't handle them by just separating from one another. But we handle them by running to Jesus together, and we reconcile, and we ask forgiveness, and we grant forgiveness, and we repent of the sin that we've done, and we have unity restored together, because that's what glorifies God. That's a significant part of growing in our walk with Christ. There's an overwhelming tone of unity in this passage and in this letter. But I want to be careful to say that if just unity is our goal, then we will fall short, because we can look around us. There are many people that are unified around something. They can be unified around the wrong thing. No, it's not just unity. It's the glory of God. And yet when we have a desire to glorify God, then one of the natural outflows of the Spirit working in us is that we have unity. There's togetherness. There's this one another concept, and we love one another. And Paul's going to go on to talk about what that will look like when we're unified as His church. Can I encourage us with this thought that your walk with God is not just about you. It's not just about you glorifying God. It's about you encouraging your brothers and sisters as well to glorify God together. Your local church needs you to be growing in your walk with Christ. Now, at the end of the day, you're not going to be responsible for everyone else's walk with God. That's their own calling. But part of our calling is to grow together. The only way that God will look at Open Door Bible Church and say that we're a faithful church is if we are a healthy spiritual church. We are spiritually healthy. May God help us to pursue spiritual health and spiritual growth by realizing we have a calling to obey, and that's Christian unity. Could I encourage you? We talked about corporate worship. I thank the Lord for everyone who's here this morning. Part of being a unified church is worshiping the Lord together. And so there's so many facets of this unity, even as we meet together throughout the week. We see the early church meeting often, going from house to house, meeting often to be together. They couldn't get enough of being together and worshiping together. Why is it in our churches that many times we see one service a week as the goal? No, our goal should be to be actively growing together and encouraging one another. Can I encourage you perhaps to view even attendance at a corporate worship as an opportunity to serve one another? And by seeing that, having a desire to serve one another as often as we can throughout the week. Thirdly, we see another reason why God calls us to pursue spiritual growth by pursuing Christ. Because thirdly, there is a new body to strengthen or to build up, and that is God's church. If you're in verse 8, actually let's jump down to verse 11. We read some of this already, but let's read down through verse 16 again. He gave, Jesus Christ gave, or he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to be growing, being built up. And here we see this beautiful analogy of the human body and members, church members, as part of this body. Why do we need to be growing and being built up? Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children or infants in Christ, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather, instead of giving in to false teaching, we will speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, it causes, it makes the body grow, so it builds itself up in love. I'm so thankful for the toddlers and the infants that we have here in our body here at Open Door. And it's a blessing to see them growing and learning new things and sitting up on their own and then walking and grabbing and pulling and advancing. We're hoping to see my niece for the first time this summer, who's in Georgia. And she'll be about 9 months when we see her, hopefully. We often say, well, that's one of our funnest stages when they're about 9 months old, because they're not running away from you and you're trying to grab them, but then also they recognize and they're happy, babies are happy. Babies bring a certain element of joy to our lives. And yet if a baby stays that same way by the time they're 21, there's a significant problem, isn't there? Babies are not expected to stay babies forever. They're expected to grow and to develop, and to learn, and to mature, and to become adults, and to have their own families one day to be able to serve the Lord with together. When Christians are saved for 15, 20, 30, 40 sometimes years, and yet they have not grown or advanced any in their spiritual walk, there is a problem. And that's why we have the church, so that doesn't happen. When a Christian, someone comes to Christ, and they've been saved for a year or two, and they still, no one has come and encouraged them and challenged them to walk with God, then that's a problem. And yet that's why the church is called to come together, to build up one another. We are called to make sure that we are growing in our walk with God. We're reading His Word. We're spending time in prayer. We're encouraging and edifying the saints when we come to church or when we go over to other church members' houses. We realize we're not going just to do it because we have a duty. We're going to serve, to edify, to build up. One of my friends on Facebook, and a couple of my friends that I went to Bible college with, I saw one of them this past week. He was helping someone work on their mobile home. And they were putting a skirting around that home, and they were going underneath even and building up some of the home that had kind of deteriorated. What they were doing was edifying that foundation. They were building it up, making it strong so that house would not collapse. That's what we're called to do every day of every week as a Christian family. We are called not to serve ourselves, but to be looking for ways to build up and serve one another. And one of the clearest ways we do that is by growing in our walk with Christ. So then when a brother or sister is struggling, really struggling with a difficult time, we can come because we are growing spiritually and we say, hey, let me come alongside with you and bear this burden with you as much as I can. Let me encourage you in the Lord. Let me pray with you. Let me serve you so you will not grow spiritually weak during this trial, but you'll be strong as you come through this trial. It won't be easy, but we will do it together. And all along there, the Spirit of Christ is there with you, helping you, guiding you, building each other up. The calling is clear. God calls His church to grow in Christ, to advance together in their walk with Him. And each member of Christ's church is called to do this. Spiritually healthy and alive churches expect their members to be actively growing in their walk with Christ. Why don't we many times do that, though? We see many churches where you can be a member of a local church and you don't ever even see the people for a couple months or maybe even two times a year. Why is that? I don't know. Why do people have a low view of church membership, local church membership? Some people will say, well, Pastor, that's not a biblical thing, church membership. Well, hold on a minute. I'm looking here, and I see the body of Christ, specifically the body of Christ, and specifically saying that if you are in Christ, you are called to join yourself as a member to this body. Now, if church membership is just taking marks on a page and taking attendance, well, then, yeah, that's not biblical. Okay, we don't see that in Scripture. But you are called to invest your life in the body of the church. You are called to not sit back. You are called to serve. And one of the big parts of that is joining yourself to a local church, taking ownership, putting yourself also under the umbrella of that local church for discipleship, for admonition if need be, for encouragement. I think we all need to evaluate our call. Many of us have joined this church, and I thank God for those who have joined as members of this local church. When you're called, what does it mean to be a member of a local church? It means what we see here in Ephesians 4 and other passages. Are we taking responsibility as members of a local church to be actively growing in this way? Are we building up one another? If we're not, may God help us to refocus our minds and our hearts so that we will be edifying and building up the body of Christ as He's called us to do. Lastly, number four, why? Another reason. Again, this isn't the final reason, but there is a new life to live. Why does God expect His church to grow spiritually? Because there's a new purpose to pursue. There is a new calling to obey. There is a new body to strengthen God's church. But there's a new life to live, and that is godliness. And God does not call each of us to pursue and to live a godly life by ourselves. He calls us together because we will fail if we do it by ourselves. That's why He gives us His Spirit and He gives us His church. We're going to read a lengthier passage of Scripture. But if you're in Ephesians 4, verse 17, we're going to read down all the way to verse 21 of chapter 5. I want us to see the passion that the Spirit of God has for His church to be growing and what that looks like. Verse 17 of chapter 4. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of pure impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard Him about Him and you were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self or the new reality created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You say, "Pastor Sam, are you going to preach on those verses?" No, I'm just going to read them, and then we're going to just comment. This is difficult for me because I'm not used to covering large passages like this. But I want us to see the burden that the Spirit has for us. Every Christian is called to pursue what we just read together in Christ. That's our calling. Does it seem overwhelming? It does. Does it seem impossible to do in our own strength? It does. Does it seem impossible to do that by yourself? Yes, because you need one another to be able to serve one another, to be able to love one another, to be able to grow together. Throughout Ephesians, you're probably familiar with the walk passages, and we just read a number of them. Paul challenged us to walk in unity, to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in wisdom, and he challenged us to do that together. So, how do we apply something like this to our life? I think we need to ask the question, first of all, as we said at the beginning, are you actively growing in your faith? It has to start there. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I pray that you do. And if you know Christ as your Savior, are you actively growing or are you passively declining? Are you active, trusting, obeying God each day? Are you waking up each day? Not perfectly. We know we don't always obey perfectly. But is there a focus? Is there a desire in your heart to grow in Christ? How do you know? How do you know if you're growing in Christ? Because that's a question, right? Well, how will I know if I'm growing in Christ? You'll see the realities of what we just read taking place. You'll see yourself being with the body and encouraging the body. You will see yourself focusing on Jesus Christ. You'll see yourself building up, looking for ways to serve one another as Christians. You'll be looking for ways to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You'll be different than the darkness around you. You won't be delighting in the things that the world delights in. You'll be delighting in the truths that God delights in. You'll be learning to say no to sin and be learning to say yes to following Jesus with your life. And you'll be doing it together. You won't be sitting at home reading the Bible only, though we have to have private time in the Word. It's so important. but we will be meeting together with God's church and sharing, look what God's been teaching me, not in pride, but just rejoicing and sharing what God has spoken to you through His Word. We must understand that there is no middle ground. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? There is no middle ground. You're either going forward after Christ, or you're declining and you're turning away from Christ. That's hard to realize. Maybe you're in that middle in the sense of, well, I know there's no middle ground, but I have a decision to make. Where am I going to go? Am I going to keep going after Christ, or I'm going to slack off a little bit and stop reading the Word, stop being active in prayer, stop attending services with God's church, stop looking for ways to serve? If there's a decision, could I encourage you to always pursue Christ? That's what the Bible tells you. And if there's a struggle, let your brothers and sisters know about it. If you're saying, I have been so struggling this hard this week, Pastor Sam, I've been struggling for joy, I've been struggling for consistency, I've been struggling to even think the things that God wants me to think, praise God that you will admit that. Let's pray together. Let's build one another up. That's what we're here for. Caleb and William are loving superheroes, and they're loving coloring superheroes, and I appreciate the pictures they draw for me. It'd be a superhero there. We look at superheroes and they're make-believe. They're not real, but they're fun to focus on. There's no such thing as superhero Christians. There's a super God and a super Savior. But none of us are called to be superhero Christians where we puff our chest out and we say, look what I have done. No, we come together on Sundays and throughout the week and we say, Lord, we are weary with sin. We see our own propensity to sin. We are not sufficient in of ourselves, Paul says, but our sufficiency is in Christ. So part of being a healthy, active, growing church is admitting our need for spiritual growth, admitting our need for one another, and most of all, admitting our need for Christ and being there and realizing there's no middle ground. May we as a local church be not stuck in a lurch, but maybe be pursuing Christ. And the amazing thing is, those who aren't growing in Christ, may they be the minority. Because the reality is, there are always Christians who are sitting on the wayside. But may they see and may they catch the passion that the church as a whole has to grow. And may they realize there is an excitement to growing in Christ. There is a passion that is right to live for Christ. And may we build up our church together. Those who are struggling, as Paul says, lift up the feeble hands. Help those who are discouraged. Help those who are struggling by your example in Christ. May we be that kind of a church. So I ask us this morning, what sin do we need to repent of? What sin do I need to repent of and forsake that perhaps is causing me to decline in an area of my spiritual walk for God? What sin is God calling you to repent of? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it the lack of a forgiving spirit? Is it just laziness, not wanting to focus on what God wants, but just trying to take a step back? The call for us is to walk worthy of that calling. God's calling in Christ Jesus is glorious, and He's called us to glorify Him. So if there is sin in our hearts, may God reveal that to us this morning. May we confess it, agree with God that it's not right, and then may we repent and go the right way in pursuing Christ. And He'll help us. He will forgive. He will restore our focus where it needs to be. So what truths do you need this morning to pursue? As we read through, I'd encourage you maybe this afternoon or this week, read through Ephesians 4 and 5. Read through what God has called you to do. Read other passages of Scripture where God has called us to live for Him together. And may we, by God's grace, pursue that together. At the end of the day, we have to make that life-changing decision every day when you think about it. Am I going to live for God today? Am I going to live for self? It's a decision that's never going to go away until one day. Oh, and I look forward to that day when we are with God in heaven, no longer a sin nature that's wanting to pull us away and our vision away, but we will be in heaven with God and there will not be a decision to be made. It will be happening all the time. I am going to praise God in His presence. But we are called to praise Him now on this earth, so may we do that by His grace. May we together actively grow in our walk with God for His glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for these reminders from Your Word. Father, I know that in of our own strength, Father, we will always fail. But we thank You that we do not live in Christ in our own strength. We live in the Spirit. We live with the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us. And so, Father, as Your Spirit has guiding our hearts even this morning. May, Father, may we yield to the work that your Spirit needs to do in our life. May we not be a lazy church. May we be a growing, active church. Father, when parts of us, of our body, become discouraged, may we help and support one another. When parts of our body here at Open Door get wounded by hurts and by persecution or trials, may we, as a body, come alongside and encourage and build up and help during those trials. Father, may we, at the end of the day, be a church that is counted faithful in your eyes. May we grow spiritually. May we grow daily. May we do it together. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.